If you'd like to break free from overthinking, Brian E. Arnold will tell us how. He specializes in the power of reverse mortgages and down payment assistances programs, and he's a mortgage advisor. And he has a mortgage company and a living trust company as well. So, Brian, tell us, how can entrepreneurs break free from overthinking?
Your podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Oh, thank you for having me on and wanting to spend some time with me today. And I did write a book. It's called There Is No Tiger, and it is based on overcoming overthinking and controlling anxiety. Because I think one of the things that we do as entrepreneurs, one of the things that we, I guess not just entrepreneurs, but anybody does, is we start thinking about all the negative possibilities that could happen in the things that we do. And so, for instance, that we say, okay, I'm going to go and buy a business, or I'm going to go buy a piece of property or something like that. And you go, well, what are all the things that could go wrong? And now you start playing these reels in our mind of, well, what if the property doesn't have the right title on it? And what if it doesn't do this? And what if I can't sell it if I want to build on it? And we go down these paths that are just crazy in the things that we could do. You know, as we're raising our kids, we think of, what if they get in an accident? What if they do this? And we go down this movie that we play in our mind of things we can't control, of things that we have no business trying to control, and things that we sometimes will paralyze us from moving forward in the things that are important to us. And that's what that gets pretty hard, is we will stop doing something because we think it might go down the path this way. Well, you know what? I get intuition and I get making some decisions, but when we overthink, and I think all of us are guilty of it at some point in time, where we just think about all the negative possibilities. One of the things that we don't do, though, we don't overthink the good things. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. You don't overthink, well, what if my wife loves me so much that I can't stand it? Let me start thinking about that over and over again. Or what if, you know, I take my kids on a trip and they remember me forever and they think I'm the greatest dad because this trip was the greatest trip that we ever went on. We don't go down that road of overthinking. We just go down the road of those negative anxiety. And just if I could just quickly, there's fear. And sometimes we think like public speaking is, you know, getting on a podcast or doing that might be something that I'm scared of. And I have fear of public speaking. They say that's like one of the number one fears in the world, when it's not really a fear. It's an anxiety about what people will think about me. Whereas a fear is, I'm in current present danger right now. A tiger's going to eat me. A snake's going to bite me. I'm going to, somebody's going to beat me up. I'm in this place. I have fear, and it's our body's mechanism to help us, our body to work faster so we're in intimate danger. But we've now translated fear into our anxiety, which is, well, what if I speak and they don't like the way I look? What if I speak and they don't understand me? Or what if I speak and I'm terrible at it? Well, what if? You know, if we make it so much worse based on our anxiety, that stop us from becoming the people that we need to be.
Wow, that's so interesting. So tell us, what made you write this book about breaking free from overthinking and stop imagining things that are not even there to make us afraid and stop us from fulfilling our full potential? What was the initial, you can say, what made you write this book?
Gotcha. Well, it started 15, 20 years ago when I won a sales contest and I was taking my team to an island in the Caribbean, and we were going to have the greatest times of our life. We had won this sales contest, and everything started going wrong. So we were in Los Angeles at the time. The limo is supposed to pick us up. It doesn't pick us up on time. So now we're fighting LA traffic to try to get to LAX, and everything happens in between. So I'm overthinking about getting on the airport and getting there and the plane leaving us and what we're going to have to do to be able to get there. And it's going to, all those things you think of. Fortunately, the plane was delayed and we got there. We ended up sitting there for 2 hours before we actually flew. So we're okay. Then somebody on our team forgot their passport or their birth certificate or whatever they need to get to St. Martin where we're going. And so it got crazy there. You know, as we're getting there, then we fly in there, and then I had rented a van for all of us to go, and all they had was this little bitty car, and it was taking them forever to find this little bitty car. And then we get to the hotel, and they had lost our reservations, and I'm overthinking what else could go wrong. This is, you know, a very, very bad, no good, very bad day, whatever that book is that we used to read when we were kids. A no good, very bad day. And so I start in on the hotel clerk, and like, what do you mean you lost your reservations? I got, you know, 12 people here that all need to have a room in your place. Where are we going to sleep? We're in the middle of nowhere. You know, we're on an island. We can't get off the island. And so out of the blue comes this guy. He's a concierge. And he says to me, he goes, "What's going on, man? What's wrong with you?" And obviously my accent's terrible, but he says, "What is wrong?" And I said, and I start going into all these issues, and I'm hyperventilating, and I'm telling all the problems that we've had that day. And he looked at me and he said, "See the ocean out there? Is there a shark going to eat you?" And I said, "No, because I'm on land." And he says, "Well, is there a tiger here that is going to eat you?" And I'm like, "No." And then he goes, "Well, here on the island, man, there are no problems, only inconveniences." And so I realized from there, wait a minute, let me breathe. Let me stop overthinking of all the possibilities. We're in this beautiful place. We have all these people. We're going to sleep somewhere. We're not, even if we have to sleep on the beach with a blanket, we're going to be okay, because it's not like Siberia where it's cold. It's not like, you know, the middle of the Sahara Desert where it's boiling hot. We're going to be just fine. And that began that process of, all the people that I've coached, all the people I talk to, one of the biggest problems they have is overthinking about things that they can't control. And so that was the precipice for the book, is thinking about, okay, what are the things that people really can do? And now what can we do about it? What are some exercises that we can do that will help you when overthinking becomes? Because there's so many people that stop with these incredible lives that they can have because they're overthinking.
Thank you. Tell us some ways that some of your clients or you were impacted by overthinking.
Yeah, I can remember for me, you know, thinking, okay, I need to go, let's say my first few clients that I have, I'm thinking, well, what if they don't buy from me? What if they don't like me? What if the presentation is terrible? And the presentation was terrible and they didn't like me and I didn't do a good job. And yet, I'm still alive. I still got up the next morning and I got up to do it again. I did it again and again and again. And then I got good at it. And then there was no more overthinking. But there's so many people who quit because they believe that they overthink. You know, when we think of decisions that we make and the things that we decide we're going to do, sometimes we don't make decisions because we've overthink all the things that could happen instead of the wonderful things that are probably going to happen. And we put ourselves in these boxes that literally stop us from achieving. And you probably come across so many people that you say, you have so much potential. You're so good at this. You could be wonderful. But in their head, they don't think they're good at it. And so they stop and they don't achieve their potential. And the goal is to help people achieve the purpose that God put them on this earth to do so that they can do it, right?
Thank you. So what are the correct steps for entrepreneurs to stop overthinking and start doing and achieving their goals?
Absolutely, that's a great question. And so some of the things that I would say that entrepreneurs should do is that they really need to focus on, what am I actually doing and what can I control? Because we have to become the person we need to be to do it. And there's so many things we can't control. And we try to control those situations. Like if somebody is going to buy from me, I can't control whether they actually do it or not. All I can do is do the right presentation and get good at the things, you know, get good at selling, get good at persuasion, get good at understanding that sales process that allows me. If you're an entrepreneur and you don't think that you're in sales, then you're not an entrepreneur and you're going to go find something else to do, because we got to teach you how to do that, right? So if we think about the sales process, So many of us want to control, well, I did this many transactions this month, which is good. It's a good matrix to know. But what did you do to create those transactions from happening? And so in the overthinking world, we got to spend time on things that we can control and not on things that we can't. So there's techniques like when you start getting anxiety because you're worried about, let's say you're getting ready to get up to speak because you're doing a presentation and you're worried about the presentation. There's things you can do like your breathing techniques. You know, the things that, you know, so that you're creating more oxygen into your brain. One of the things that tends to happen when we get anxious is things constrict. Our blood vessels constrict. Our thought processes. And when we think about, we start getting emotions. And when emotions are high, intelligence is low. And so we got to flip that, right? So we have emotions low and intelligence is high. Well, how do we control our emotions? One of the best ways to control emotions is bringing oxygen to your brain. And how do you breathe oxygen into your brain? Well, you breathe, and you breathe in deep, these deep belly breaths where your belly comes out. You stop, you calm down, you think. Now my brain begins to start thinking instead of reacting.
Thank you. For those entrepreneurs that know what they should be doing, but they don't want to do it because they're thinking, like you said, that maybe they don't want to send the sales, the proposal, for example, because they're afraid that they'll be rejected, or they are afraid that the client will be offended by a really high price, or they are afraid that the client will simply say no, or they will ruin the relationship by asking them for something that seems preposterous. What would you suggest entrepreneurs do in those kind of overthinking and procrastination situations?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is realize that people are going to say no. Not everybody's going to say yes to every offer that you make them. The more offers that you can make, the better off that you can be by doing those, by creating those offers and doing them over and over again. It's okay if somebody doesn't say no. You're going to get better by failing. And we all have to fail ourselves to success. And I think sometimes we get so embraced in the fact that we can't fail, that we have to have. And there's going to be some sales that you probably will lose. And that's okay, because in the next one, you get better because you learn. Now, the person who doesn't learn from the mistakes that they make, and I think that's a big thing with entrepreneurs, is we make mistakes, but then we go recreate those same mistakes over and over again. So now we have to go back and we have to reevaluate, okay, what went wrong in this? And sometimes if somebody says no, there's nothing wrong with asking them, why did you say no? You know, depending on the size of the client, that type of person, if you're going to do more business. And so working on relationship is super important. But on the other side of it is, yes, okay, I still have to go for it. I know I don't want to do that presentation because I think I might mess up. But you'll never know unless you do the presentation. And the most successful entrepreneurs that you will ever find will tell you about many, many presentations that they messed up, many, many sales that didn't go through, many, many times where they didn't have a clue of what they were doing, but they did it anyway. That's the difference between somebody who's successful and somebody who's not, is your willingness to let go of those things you're overthinking about, do what you can to mitigate it, but then you still have to go out and do it.
Thank you. For those entrepreneurs that are having to deal with really high stakes and really high profile clients, and let's say if they're overthinking, and the reason why they're overthinking and procrastinating is because, let's say you have a client that can, I don't know, pay you $10 million or something, like something as, you know, as high as that for something that you're doing, or I don't know, a really high amount for your product or service. So the stakes are high in every single sales conversation. What do you suggest they do to cope better with that particular situation and stop overthinking and just do what they are supposed to do?
You have to know your stuff. I mean, it's the same process, whether it's a $10 million. We just put more stress on it because, hey, man, this could change my life forever. If I get a $100,000 commission and that's just in one day, maybe I can do this over and over again. But the difference is did you do the things that you needed to do in order to be in front of that client? Because if you didn't already know your stuff, right? You wouldn't be talking to somebody who would give you $10 million anyways, right? So you've already become that person just in the relationship that you are in front of that person. Now, maybe somebody, a boss or somebody gave you and they're going to rescue you from it. But you have to know and be confident in yourself that, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be here because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be here in the first place. Now you've worked on all the things that you need to work on. You've worked on your presentation, and all you can do is the best that you possibly could have put together. Now you can rely on other folks that help you put together a team of people, and you go in there, and most of the time you don't do all the stuff alone, especially if it's a high stakes $10 million, $20 million, $100 million deal. And then you need to be in rooms, I would say, before, as you're developing yourself, of people that are at that caliber that talk about those things, that you can now be the fly on the wall that gets there. If you are the smartest person in the room that you're in, that the people that you're soaking around, that you're hanging out with, then you're in the wrong room. You need to elevate yourself into rooms to become the person you need to be in order to do the thing then you get to have. And we get so backwards because we try to go do before we become. And your personal development and who you become is so much more important for those big deals of those anxieties. Because once you're there and you've done the work of becoming the person, you don't have any problem in that room, because you know you're supposed to be there and you're doing it. So if you feel that anxiety, it's probably because you don't feel you're that person yet. And now you have to go back and say, why am I here? And start asking yourself those questions. Instead of those negative questions of, this is what could go wrong, you start talking to yourself about, what did I do right to be here? And then this is how this is going to go. And you pursue it that way.
Thank you. How can an overthinker turn into an attitude of an action taker over the long term so that they can continuously produce high performance productivity and also high performance habits?
Experience is a big part of it. Your biggest overthinkers, you know, if you were thinking of a category of people, you're type A people who have to have everything right. They're perfectionists. Everything, all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, and I continue to have to do that. And so I'm not saying don't have all those things prepared. Your preparation is probably going to take a little bit longer. You know, you're going to make sure all those things are there. But in the end, you can only do what you can control. And I think what the biggest issue is, or I 100% believe the biggest issues with those people who overthink that are in that category, is they think they have to do everything themselves or it doesn't go right. And so you have to find some people in your corner that can help you get through the things that you may not be a perfectionist at, or you may not know how to do. If I'm doing a technology presentation that I'm talking about a new software, and I'm not a software engineer, but I'm the person doing the presentation on this software, I need to bring people into the room that can answer those technical questions. And it might be that we put that list of questions together and I grilled them a little bit on before they come into the room. And now I have to begin to trust, which is hard for an overthinker to do, is trust others. And so you have to have those experiences and start out with small ones and then make them bigger. Don't start out with your $10 million client with somebody you never did a presentation with. You know, do that practice presentation before so that you believe that you've taught it, that you've dotted all your I's, you crossed all your T's, and now you're ready to move forward.
Thank you. For those overthinking and procrastinating, because nothing has worked yet in terms of like closing, you know, multi-million dollar business, multi-million dollar contracts, let's say, what would you have them do to kind of step into action again and step away from the fear of, oh my God, another one that isn't going to work?
Yeah, there's no magic pill that's going to let you do that. There is just you making sure that you've gone through the process over and over and over again. I wish I could say there's like this magical, you step up, you do this one technique, you go to a therapist, they tell you the things that you need to do, and all of a sudden you're great at presentations. It's literally becoming that person that you need to be. And if you know you're not that person, then you need to work on that person and how to do that. And so that's on that personal development. Like, if maybe they're going to some of the seminars that you have, or they're going to, there's so many things out there. There's so many personal development things that you can do, like coaching. having a coach would be a really good thing to do, is because now you have somebody who can see your blind spots, who can talk to you. And I tell you, don't ever find a coach that doesn't have a coach, because any coach that doesn't have a coach doesn't deserve to be a coach. But it, though, whether it's a coach or maybe we call them mentors, you know, who are your mentors that are helping you that have done $10 million deals? If you've never done a $10 million deal and you're trying to do it by yourself, then you're and you haven't gotten any coaching on it, then you're probably right. You're not that person who can do that yet. And so, but if you have been part of it and you have somebody coaching you, somebody said, okay, here's what to look for. I've done several $10 million deals, and this is the, you know, these are some of the things that you need to look for. These are some of the things you need to do. Now, when you go into that presentation, you feel a lot more confident in yourself because you've had somebody who's walked you through that process to be able to do it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Tell us more about some of your personal experience of how you went from being an overthinker to now being an action taker all the time.
Yeah, I can say for me, I'm not that type A person who has to have all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. And so for me, I think it was a little bit better of a journey. But, you know, I can remember when I first got into trying to make sales and trying to do stuff and listening to everybody and soaking in all the personal development things I can do. Going to Tony Robbins, right? Getting all excited and getting, you know, hyped up and rah-rah and walking on fire and getting back and go, okay, now what? I have no idea what to do. I have, you know, he said all these things and I'm excited, but I'm not the person who can go out and do this. And so then I would start thinking, well, I don't know how to do this. And so I would find mentors. I would find mentors that would, some of them would go on appointments with me if I was needing them for an appointment to go on to sit down and just critique it. When we got these things called the sales phones, I would then begin to record myself saying things and doing things. And so I just knew I had to be better at what who I was in order to achieve what I needed to achieve. And so I continue to always have a coach. I continue to always have a mentor. I continue to go out there and fail. I have a friend who went on a year and a half of appointments before he made his first sale. And he was doing it at least a couple times a week. Now, I don't want you to have to go through that amount of intrepidation and that amount of fear and that amount of thing. But the best thing that's going to overcome those things that you're spending on is spending time working on what it is you know that you're not good at. And then once you do that, you're going to be a superstar. You're going to be great because you keep doing it. That perseverance, that grit, that the things that you go to and you probably already know the answer, but want some other kind of secret thing to be able to do it that's not going to do it. But I can tell you some of the biggest deals I've had is part by faith and just saying, God, you got to help me through this. And the other part is being prepared. You know, being prepared, and then doing it and saying, and going into it knowing this may not work out. And I, you know, that's okay too, because there's going to be plenty more of these deals. I think we have this belief that there's lack and that doing this finite universe, that there's only one $10 million deal that's available. And if I don't get this one $10 million deal, life is over. But there's hundreds of thousands of $10 million deals, because you got to look for people who are looking to do business with you, not looking for people you think need it. If you spend your time looking for people who need what you have to sell, if you're trying to find people that you got to convince that what you're trying to sell is what is needed, then you're in the wrong game. You need to go out and find people. There's millions of people that would be happy to buy what you have to sell if they only knew who you were. And so your game is, how do I show people that want what I have, that I'm alive, that I'm around, and that's through that marketing or through social media. However you're going to do it, you need to go find those people. Then that process is so much easier than trying to convince somebody. And I think that maybe a little bit of what you're asking is, how do I convince somebody that, you know, they need to do business with me? And the answer is, you can't. You know, you can persuade them based on, because they're already looking. But if you find somebody who's not looking, you could talk to them until you're blue in the face. You're not going to convince them. You have to help him realize why he needs it, but you're not going to convince somebody who doesn't want it. And we spend so much time there. And then we overthink on, well, why didn't they do it? Well, they didn't want to do it in the first place. You know, they got a business in real estate and you're trying to sell them a car. They don't want a car. You know, they want real estate transactions.
Oh, wait, okay, but just imagine they actually do want the car, and it's just about, do they want a car that's like 100K? Maybe they just want like I don't know, a 5K or a 20K car, right? So sometimes there's not a fit in terms of what people are searching, or sometimes there is a fit, but it's just a matter of how do you present it to them in a way that it makes sense to them, that that is the real opportunity that they desired, that is maybe a better solution than what they had thought of, you know? Tell me where entrepreneurs can find you.
Oh, by BrianEArnold.com, BrianEArnold.com. Everything that I do, podcasts, coaching, books, all that stuff is on that website. And so you can go there, BrianEArnold.com, and you can find everything there is to know about me.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.